Blog Talk Radio.
It's Rich Wilson, and welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. We've got a quick show tonight. Tim is actually out at a wedding, and I'm still trying to recover from the hurricane. So emotionally, don't have any, looks like, physical damage that I know of at the moment, but it's been quite the week. Guys, if you want to get a hold of us, the best way to do that is go to our website, prospect361.com, and kind of go visit our sponsors. If you want to support the show, it's the best way to do that. We've got to get discounts by going to MLB Shops and Steiner Sports and StubHub and Amazon.com. Simply go to the site, click those on, and Tim and I get a little extra money from you guys doing that. If you want to support the show, you can go out to iTunes and rate and review us. We always appreciate that. And if you want to get a hold of me, it's at Rich Wilson P361, and get the great Tim McLeod out on Facebook, Tim McLeod, McLeod. And without further ado, it's the very handsome and very debonair Mr. Tim McLeod. How are you?
Well, I am just doing great, Rich. Glad to hear your voice. You've had much more of an eventful week than I have, but thanks for complimenting me on my 25-year-old tie. I don't throw anything out, Rich. Okay,
it is,
and
it is back in style, Tim. It is back in style. Well done.
You know, Rich, it's always been in style for me. Okay, always.
Yeah, it's funny. My son is getting married next year. One of the things he said, Tim, is you are going to buy a new suit, aren't you? I'm like, what's wrong with my suits now? And he said, they were really in style about 20 years ago. So I've already gotten the buy a new suit and tie, Dad. So I might be calling you up, Timmy. Maybe if I see you in Arizona, you can bring your tie and let me borrow it.
Well, yeah, that's not a problem. What I would do, okay, if it was my son who said something like that, I would break out the white, tight, John Travolta-style suit, okay, and model that one for him, just because, right?
So when I was early in my career, and that's when I bought all my fancy suits back when you had to dress up, it was in the Don Johnson era, so it's all the big shoulder pads, and it's, you know, I got that. That's what all my suits look like. So, and I haven't worn a suit, Timmy, more than once a year for the last 20 years, I bet.
I was going to say it only for the board meeting, right?
Don't even, I wore it once for a board meeting. I said, well, who am I trying to impress? And I go in my jeans, Timmy, and I might put a nice shirt on. So.
Oh, okay. So tell me, How are things in your neck of the woods? It's been a terrifying, at least from what I can see based on the news that we're getting, it's been a terrifying week, Rich.
It has been unbelievable, Timmy. It's been an emotional week. I live here in North Carolina, and Timmy, I've never seen more rain in my life. In Charlotte, it's rained about, depending on where you live, anywhere from 9 to 10 inches where we are to a foot and a half. And, you know, we're 150 miles from the shore. There's places on the shore of North Carolina, Tim, that got 4 feet of rain. 4 feet of rain. I mean, that's insane. And what happened is when the storm came in, it lost a little bit of its wind, but apparently it turned into a gigantic rainstorm. And it was interesting because our little beach house, it came in very close to the beach house, but we were on the south side of the storm, which meant we were somewhat protected. And in fact, they put electricity back on our island, and they've gone around and looked at houses and are claiming no major, you know, problems with people's houses. The canals didn't overflow. Oh. There's not much beach erosion. So that's all good news. But these poor people that were 100 miles north of where the storm hit, I mean, they just got crushed. The water just kind of flowed into all the creeks and rivers and just destroyed people's homes. And it's sad. You know, it's like you're wishing that nothing happens to your home, but you realize by wishing nothing happens to your home, that means somebody else is getting hit. So hurricanes suck, Timmy. They just really do.
Yeah, no, I saw some of the pictures, and from what I can gather right now, the biggest problem is getting anybody in to actually help in these areas.
Yeah.
Because all the highways are washing out. Like I saw a couple shots of, I think it's I-90. Like you're not getting through spots there unless you got a boat. It just isn't happening.
I-95, which is the road you're talking about, might be the most heavily traveled highway in the United States. It goes up and down the East Coast. It's closed pretty much in the state of North Carolina. It is submerged. So even if I wanted to go, just me to see how my house is, I don't think I can get from Charlotte to the ocean. I don't think it's physically possible to do that tomorrow. So I'm just going to have to wait and before I can get out there, probably by next weekend, and try to get out there even early the following week. And it is a mess. The rain was unprecedented. It was very much like it was in Houston, I believe, last year, and that was horrible. Not nearly as populated area that it hit that it did in Houston. But the pictures are frightening. And fortunately for us, all we've got some trees uprooted around the communities and little creeks overflowing. But knock on wood, we didn't lose our electricity and it stopped raining.
Good.
The rain is over. I know how Noah felt when it stopped raining. So it is.
Yeah. Yes, and two by two, you can go out and assess the damage, right?
Exactly. And Beans was not very happy. He did not want to go outside when it was raining. So we still forced him.
Okay.
He would wait until there was a break in it raining sideways. It was just more of a light mist and ran out there and had him do his business and come back in. So if that's as bad as it got for us, we got out pretty easy, Timmy. But I appreciate you asking about it. I know a lot of people reached out and were concerned about our safety. We were never – I mean, we didn't – look, if anybody thinks I'm crazy and or heroic, I am never going to stay in my beach house when a hurricane's coming. I can guarantee people of that, but I do appreciate all the advice and the well wishes, but we might have dodged a bullet, Timmy, and it was a big gigantic bullet we dodged, but so hopefully everything's going to be okay.
Yes, good. Glad to hear it. And just in case you're wondering, Rich, where I am in sunny North Bay, Ontario, it was 91 and sunny here today.
I believe I saw a picture of you out by a lake or something like that. I thought I saw that cross my Facebook. Facebook. Yeah, I saw that, Timmy. I hated you for it. So.
Well, thanks, Rich. I'm really tired of bringing up Duluth and all these remote places, but every once in a while I just got to get a little jab in there. And I'm at my brother's place, and it's on the lake, and it's absolutely gorgeous. I'm sitting in the garage right now, so I can enjoy my bad habit while I'm talking to you, and it's absolutely gorgeous. I'm having a great time, and it was nice to spend time with family, and I'm even following baseball a little bit.
Wow. Wait a minute. Did you go through the UP and then to what was it, Saint Sue Laurie or Saint Sue something? And then, I mean, did you do all those things?
Yeah, Sault Ste. Marie, and then back into North Bay, and I only got lost once. When they have detours, they really should make the signs a little bit bigger. You know what I mean? Like when you get back off the detour. So I took a little bit of a scenic hike, but it's not like I was in a big hurry. So it was nice to see some of the countryside in the Upper Peninsula.
No, that's great, Timmy. I'm glad you had a great time. But I'm glad you also got a chance to follow some baseball. I'll be honest with you, Timmy. To take my mind off of just the hurricane, watching the Weather Channel 24/7 and the local people, I wrote for Prospect 361, Timmy. I wrote over 90 capsules, maybe 100, close to 100 capsule. So I've got a really big dent into the work I've got to do for this fall. And I just plow through them. I just, you know, I had to focus on something to keep my mind off of, you know, everything else. And I didn't want to watch baseball because then that would make me watching TV. And then I'd want to glance over to, you know, look at the Weather Channel. I didn't want to do that. So I wrote, so I didn't watch much baseball, Timmy. Did follow it a little bit, but the thing I find interesting is the playoff picture. I mean, it's we actually got a few races going on finally.
Yeah, it looks like it's a little bit more focused on the NL than the AL, but yeah, it's getting interesting as we head into the last couple of weeks, and there's a couple races and a couple. Division titles, it probably won't be decided until the last weekend.
Yeah, so let's just go through the American League first. Well, that's the boring one. The AL East and AL Central. Again, the Red Sox have not clinched the division yet. I think they're in pretty good shape, and the Indians have already clinched, so they're good. But the question goes to the AL West, and it's the pesky A's, Timmy. Can the Astros, who are playing exceptionally well, can they really hold off the A's?
Yeah, I'm going to anoint the Astros as winning the AL West, Rich. The A's have been pesky, and they put up a good battle, but Houston is, you know, I think in the past month, they've only lost a handful of games, and they're definitely a better club. Even though their pitching's struggling, they still have better pitching. Osuna has made a difference in the ninth inning, a big difference, and I'm going Houston all the way for the AL West.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I mean, you're right, they haven't lost many games, but I think they're, at the start of today's games, I think they're only 3.5 games up on Oakland, so that just tells you how good Oakland's been playing.
Yeah, they've been, and you look at, you know, you look at that pitching staff, and hey, you know, you got to love that bullpen, but you know, if somebody were to bet me on what their rotation would look like and what their record would look like at this time of the year, I probably wouldn't have pictured it being exactly as it is. It's been an amazing season for them, and hey, kudos to the A's.
Yeah, it's funny. I was looking. I know we talked about this, you know, a month ago, just trying to name the rotation, and I know Brett Anderson was hurt for a while. Cahill, I believe, is hurt. And Edwin Jackson's out there pitching. Mania got hurt. I mean, but somehow they keep doing okay. And I think it was yesterday, the day before yesterday, they went with that opener. I mean, there was basically a bullpen game. And then the next day they pitched Domingan, an opener went, and then he went. I mean, explain this opener thing to me. To me, I think I understand it, but why did the Rays do it, and then now why is Oakland doing it? I mean, what are they trying to accomplish?
They don't have any starting pitching. I think that's exactly what it boils down to. I don't think it's a deep, comprehensive, in-depth sort of strategy. It's, you know, you look at Tampa Bay, all the pitching that they lost. You look at Oakland, the pitching that they have lost and don't have. And I think it's a plan necessitated by a rotation that is beat up, battered, and doesn't have enough arms. And, you know, I rather like the idea. I don't have any problems with that. Do you start wheeling out high A starting pitchers to try and win games in a year when you're a playoff contending team, or do you take the best arms you possibly can, even if they are all relief pitchers, and wheel them out? I'd say you're going to be much more successful with one approach as compared to the other.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was, as I thought through, and I could be wrong, so I thought it was a little bit more, I mean, I think they started doing it just because of lack of starting pitcher. I got that, but I began to think, well, why the opener? And why not, like, bring in these middle relievers after four innings, maybe five innings? And I got to thinking, because now in baseball, I mean, it is all about your first three batters are your best hitters. So you bring in one of your better relievers to start the game to hopefully get those three guys out, or, you know, kind of get the game started. And if starting pitcher can only get through twice through a lineup before starting to get beat up. And the third time through the lineup, they're going to get beat up the most by the first three guys. Why not have them pitch through five or six? And maybe you can extend it on because now they've missed those first three guys the first time through because the other guy pitches. So I was thinking, is that the reason they've done it? Is that the calculus behind it?
Well, I think it definitely comes into play. If you've got a short guy, a setup guy, whatever, that is lights out and can get those first three, maybe even six batters out, it gives you a big edge. It gives your offense a chance to get going. It sets the tone for the game somewhat. And, yeah, you know, you get a couple innings out of them. Then you go to a swing man, try and get Yarbrough in Tampa Bay, try and get 3, 4, 5 innings. Then back into your short guys again. And it does make sense from that perspective, but I still think it's because they don't have starting pitching. It's
I agree with you. I mean, I totally agree. So Tampa doesn't have, I mean, Blake Snell can get through whatever he wants to get through. I mean, he's a very, very high end guy, but, and you see Chris Archer, they had Chris Archer, but now, I mean, the Tampa Bay is thinking, okay, I don't, maybe in a, another Chris Archer slash Blake Snell will come up. But until then, let me try this logic, and I'll throw Tyler Glasnow out, who's a pretty good pitcher. I'll get 4 or 5 innings from him, but I'll try to extend it because I'm giving up those first three batters to somebody else. And I think that's what the Oakland A's are doing. The same thing, because Mingan pitched 5 innings. Opener went third inning, and then he pitched 5 innings.
Yeah, and, you know, if you look at Tampa Bay and you look at them, say, heading and moving forward to 2019, you know, they got De Leon and they've got Honeywell both coming back. They might want to take and go with this opener and use Honeywell, De Leon, and say innings 2 through 4 or innings 3 through 6 as they build up their arm strength, coming back off, in Honeywell's case, coming back off of Tommy John. It might be the perfect scenario to build up that arm strength, the control, and not put them in quite as high a leverage situation to start next year.
I think that's a really, really great suggestion, Timmy. And, you know, I think those are two different pictures. I do believe Honeywell could be that number two behind Blake Snell, not next year, but in 2020. Sure. I just don't know about Jose De Leon. I just don't know. I mean, he really struggled even before he had Tommy John surgery. So it's just question whether he's a guy or not.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. But I think it would make more sense to bring them back in a middle relief, long capacity than maybe it would to start games.
Yeah, totally agree. So what about the wild card, Timmy, the AL? Looks like it's the Yankees versus the A's slash Astros. You think the Astros are going to win, so I'll say that. It looks like it's the Yankees versus the Astro, and I guess the only open question is, I mean, who's going to host that game? Because that could be a lot.
Yeah, I'm thinking we got Oakland at home against the Yankees.
Wow.
And All the Yankee fans out there are going to hate me for this, but it's a one and done. I think Oakland's going to beat them.
Wow. Wow, Timmy, that's well, those are some fighting words for the people in the Northeast, man. That's a bold statement. I mean, the Yankees have an incredible team. But you could be right. I mean, that's the danger of not winning the division.
Well, yeah, and Rich, it's very easy for me to make bold predictions like this for the next week because I'm on vacation and I'm not checking all my emails, so I really don't care, okay? I'll wait till I get home.
Yeah, I think the Yankees will host it. I do think I'm going to go opposite the great Tim McLeod. I think they will win. But, I mean, geez, Luis Severino is not the same guy he was the first half of the year, so you just don't know, Timmy, and you know, it is one game, and it'll be interesting. Let's go to the National League. So, NL East, Tim, I know you were predicting your wild card or not wild card. Your under the radar team was the Philadelphia Phillies, and you were right for about 5 months, and then it just looks like the Braves have run away with that division. I mean, that's shocking to me.
Yeah, I had them pick Phillies Braves. It looks like it's going to be the other way around. Braves Phillies.
Yeah.
yeah, they're just getting it done. And actually, and you know, if the Phillies don't pick up the pace a little bit, they might actually finish behind the Nats.
I know. They just wore out. I mean, this the team.
Yep.
It's amazing because if you take a look at the Phillies and the Braves, I mean, they were comparable coming in, a lot of talent. Who was really going to step up and you know, who would rise to the top? And clearly the Braves have. And I know Ronald Acuna is a huge catalyst now in that lineup. But, man, I mean, Fulton Nevich has turned into the pitcher that we thought he was and never could become.
Yep.
And they still got Soroka, who's not even – you know, he didn't even pitch. I mean, they got guys coming to me, and I mean, there's tons of young talent that are coming up and going, wow, these guys are really. I think this is going to be a scary good team for quite a while.
Yeah, I think we're looking at another run like we saw a few years back, where they're perennial division winners for quite a while. And you know, I think when you look at the Braves and the Phillies, I think one of the things that's made a huge difference, other than Acuna in the first half, Albies and Freddie Freeman, but the bullpen. The Braves' bullpen,
yeah,
even with losing Vizcaino, has been very, very strong. And the Phillies seem to have gone in a million different directions as far as their bullpen is concerned. And I really think that's been a huge factor in the Phillies sliding as they head towards the finish line.
Yeah. Hey, just think, Camargo's had a nice step-up season. He's probably the sucker,
yep,
pick next year. People will draft him, and he'll go back to not being very good. Nick Markakis has had a tremendous year. I mean, I'm assuming he'll come back. I can't believe somebody else would he's a free agent, would sign him to a lucrative deal. I mean, maybe, but you would think he'd come back. And then Soroka's coming. Tuki Toussaint is good. I mean, they've got pitching out the wazoo. It's going to be impressive.
Well, and you know what? That's the key, is they have all that pitching. They've got four or five starters that we didn't see this year that we're going,
yep,
to see moving forward. And when you start looking at contending and, you know, contending over the long haul, you have to have a pile of starting pitchers. You really do. And they've got them all sitting there. It's just a matter of them maturing and being ready for the bigs. And they're going to start arriving, absolutely all of them. And they're going to be a strong team.
Yeah, I've got, I'm just looking at their prospect list that I've put together, Timmy.
Right.
I haven't written the Braves yet, but Soroka's number one. He just doesn't have enough innings. He's still prospect eligible.
Yep.
Kyle Wright, number two. I mean,
yep,
he was drafted third or fourth 2 years ago. Luis Cajara, who is a nice little pitcher, maybe goes to the bullpen. Ian Anderson, number three overall pick 3 years ago. Tuki Toussaint's in there. Bryce Wilson is a lot of those guys saw the major leagues this year, and Bryce Wilson pitched pretty well.
Well, yeah, you know, like, but you look at Wilson's pitch for one game. Soroka was hurt; he hasn't pitched much. Toussaint, I think's only pitched three games. that's impressive. It really is.
Yeah. Let's go to the Central, Timmy, and it looked like there was all Cubs, and all of a sudden the Brewers. You know, they've got eight infielders, and my buddy Jonathan Scope is a bench player now, but all of a sudden they're starting to play a lot better. And the question is, can the Cubs hold off the Brewers?
Yeah, I think they can. I think they will. I think the Cubs are right now the best team in the NL, and I think they're going to win that division with the Brewers coming in a close second.
Well, let's not forget about the Cardinals, Timmy. I mean, they're not that far behind either. But I mean, I can't believe they're six games back. So I can't believe they,
yeah,
have a chance to overtake the Cubs.
No, I don't think they have any chance at all to overtake the Cubs. And I think the Brewers would have to totally collapse for the Cards to get by them. So hey, you know what? They've had ever since the managerial change. Hey, the Cards have been one of the best teams in the game, and they played real well. They just got themselves into too much of a hole too early and just couldn't climb out of it. At least I don't think they're going to climb out of it all the way.
Cardinals up 1-0 in the fourth inning. Adam Wainwright pitching well, Timmy. Going against the Dodgers, so let's move to the West. You've got Colorado and the Dodgers as we enter the game tonight. 82-67, they're atop. And Arizona fading badly, Timmy. So the question is, who wins that division?
The Dodgers. I think that despite all of the dickering around with the lineup that has been done, the pitching, I think, is eventually going to win it out. And when you look at the Dodgers, the Rockies, and the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers have the pitching, Rich. There's no comparison between the other two teams as far as I'm concerned. And the best pitcher in that division, as far as I'm concerned right now, is a rookie. And he is going to be probably a top 20 starter for me heading into next year, even with less than a full year's worth of numbers under his belt. That's Walker Buehler.
Timmy. I totally agree with you, Timmy. I totally agree with you. And I owned him in a lot of leagues, and I traded him away to make runs in those leagues. And I'm glad I did, because I won one of those leagues. I might have liked two leagues by trading him away in a dynasty league. But I think he's going to be special, Timmy, and I agree with you. Not a big guy, but really good stuff. Pitches tall, so, and he's done nothing but, he's hurt a little bit in midseason, but, man, he's pitched very, very well. I still like Colorado, Timmy. I mean, we're going to talk about it a little bit later.
Okay.
Like Kyle Freeland and Germán Marquez is – I never forget when the first time I saw him. He gave up 6 runs in the first inning. I looked at him. He was playing a Double-A. He was playing in Trenton. I go, man, this guy's got really, really good stuff. And I immediately went back and added him to all my teams, going, I can't believe I'm adding a Rockies pitcher to my to my dynasty leagues. And then I gave up on him, Timmy. And, of course – he's turned out to be not a bad pitcher, 10 strikeouts per 9.
Yeah, he's had a very, very good year, Rich. But I am now officially of the mindset that I don't care who it is. I'm staying away from Rocky starters. I've seen enough. I'm not going to bet that either one of those two guys is the next Jeff Francis or Yubaldo Jimenez. How's that?
Look, Kyle Freeland, 2.36 ERA at home, Timmy, a 3.51 on the road. Lefties are hitting 170 off of him. Germán Marquez, unfortunately, he's fallen into a traditional Rockies, a 5.14 ERA at home and a 2.94 on the road. But 10.10 strikeouts per 9. Kyle Freeland, Timmy, he's been really, really good.
Well, I know, and Yubaldo was good for half a year, too. We have not seen since that first half by Jimenez back way, 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 way long ago, we haven't seen any sustained success out of a Rockies pitcher, Rich. And I'm just not going to bet on it. You know, I would love to own those guys. Don't get me wrong, but not at the price they're going to go at, which is going to be way too high for me. And as a result, I'm just not going to, you know, somebody's going to reach out based on the 10 per 9 strikeout rate and make a move on them a little bit earlier than I have any intentions of. But I said, I'll invest in a Rockies pitcher when I can see 2 good years out of them. And we've never seen that ever.
I mean, that's fair. You know, it's funny. We everybody knows that I'm getting a call, Timmy. I'm getting these alerts all weekend long from everybody telling me that it's raining outside. So all the townships are coming by and saying that it's raining outside. Thank you very much. So,
Is that like the guy on the Weather Channel standing in the wind? I commented.
Did you see?
I saw that.
No, I did. What did you say?
The gentleman from the Weather Channel.
Yes.
Who was standing there being blown over, and 2 guys walked behind him. Wasn't that hilarious?
That was hilarious, Timmy. And it's funny. I have a different perspective now. This is my first real hurricane I lived through. I did live through Sandy, but that happened like nobody knew that was going to happen. It just was a weird kind of thing. But this, you saw it coming.
Right.
And you found when you watched the Weather Channel, Tim, it was upsetting because these guys were so melodramatic about everything, and it literally made it sound like the world was going to end. I just wanted the data. Just tell me what it's going to do. I don't need to know what the potential impacts are going to be. And then when he was out there trying to hold himself up against the wind and people walking behind him, and you know, it was funny, but it was also like, yeah, that's what you're dealing with. When you got a serious situation, these guys are trying to make it more sensationalized than it is. And it was very, you know, when it was personal to me, it was happening to you, it was very, like, it made me mad. You know, I'm like, come on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was going to say the way you would look at that as compared to the way I look at it are two very different things because I ain't living it.
Right.
And
when you're living it and you're living it and you see this guy's, you know, because you go, man, that's really, really bad. You see these two guys. It is funny. I definitely get the humor of the whole thing. I truly do, Timmy. And I can laugh about it because it looks like we're okay. But, I mean, it's like it's so ridiculous, you know. And it's you know, I don't want to get political. Donald Trump talks about fake news all the time. And I question a lot of that stuff. But then you see this and you go, that is real fake news. I mean, that is really, truly fake news.
Well, it makes you question how important are ratings on the Weather Channel.
Yeah, there was another guy who did a broadcast they showed too, who was like waist deep in water, and then literally, I don't know if you saw this, 10 feet away from him was the guy holding the boom mic. He was on dry land. So he was holding the boom mic for the shot, and the guy was sitting in waders in waist-deep water. And it's just like, seriously? You know, come on.
But like, would they put him in a manhole for the shot or what?
Pretty much, Demi. You should go out and research it. But I forgot where we were on that. But
Dodgers.
So
Rocky starting pitchers, yeah.
That's right. So Timmy is not sold on the Rocky starting pitcher. I'm not either. But the two things that obviously the one that everybody knows about is the high thin air balls travel farther, faster. We know all of that. But the other thing that gets talked about less, Timmy, is the fact that because of the thin air, balls don't curve. I mean, they, you know, a curve ball doesn't have the kind of bite that they normally have on sea level. And it's part of the reason that Rocky pitchers have always struggled. So Jonathan Gray has a great curveball, and it's pretty flat when he's there, and he gets hit really hard with it. Kyle Freeland's been able to do it, I don't know. But everything straightens up there, and that's a big part of the advantage that you get hitting in Colorado and the disadvantage that you get pitching in Colorado.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, that's why I'm always going to be cautious until I have reason not to be, and I don't yet.
Let's go with the wild card, Timmy. Who's it going to be? Dodgers, Colorado, Cubs, Brewers, Cardinal. Who do you have? Let's see, you've already got the Cubs and the Dodgers winning the division. So then it comes down to the Colorado, Brewers, and Cardinals for those two out of those three wild cards. Who do you have?
Well, you know, I'm hemming and hawing, but I just have a feeling that Mr. Yelich is going to step up and carry the Brewers to the promised land. So I've got the Brewers over the Rockies in the play-in game.
Yeah, I think if it gets played in Colorado, I think I would pick Colorado over there just because I think Kyle Freeland has a chance to win that, to pitch well in that game. Boy, you have to, I mean, Trevor Story, Tim, I know we talked about him last week, but it's becoming ridiculous how good he has been this year.
Yeah, just an amazing season. I'm betting on the play-in game being played in Milwaukee, Rich, not Colorado.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Well, that gives us something we can root against each other on that. That'll be fun to talk about for the next couple of weeks. So let's get to the World Series prediction. Give me the two teams playing and who wins.
Well, you know, you look at all these teams, okay, and the logical approach is you look at the AL, okay, and I think it's possible to argue that there are four, maybe five teams in the AL that are all better than the best team in the NL this year. The AL is a strong, strong division, and you know, when I look at the teams, you know, so based on all of that, Rich, I'm going to pick the Braves to win it.
Yeah, that's great. So who are they going to win? Who are they going to beat?
They're going to beat the Red Sox in 7 games.
Wow. Well, that would be awesome, Timmy. I hope you're right, because that would be awesome. I think it's, to me, the it goes down to the Red Sox and the Astros in the American League. Part of me says beware of the Cleveland Indians. They do have Josh Donaldson, who's done absolutely nothing, but he's got 2 or 3 weeks to put things together. Have pretty good pitching. The bullpen is not as strong as it used to be, but I'm going to go with the Astros. I just think the Astros got that missing link, which was Osuna, and I think that's a really scary team now that Jose Altuve is back and Carlos Correa, hopefully he figures out how to hit again. And I in the National League, you know, I think it's going to be the Dodgers. I think Walker Buehler is the wild card there. And assuming Kenley Jansen can still pitch, I think it's them, and I think the Astros repeat, Timmy. So I'm sticking with the American League, but I love your pick of the Braves. In fact, I'm wishing for that because that's the better story.
Well, yeah, you know, I think when you look at the teams involved, yeah, the easier logical pick is either Boston or Houston against the Dodgers. I think that's those are probably, from a pitching and overall team makeup, those are probably the three best teams right now. But you know what? Every year we have upsets, and you know, if I was going to slap $20 down on somebody right now, I'd want it to pay more than 50 cents on the 100. So that's I'll go with the long shot and the Braves. You just never know once you get into the playoffs.
I blew it, Timmy. I was in Las Vegas on Monday and Tuesday of this week, and I could have put $20 down on the Braves for you.
Yeah, geez, I never even thought.
I didn't even think about it.
You doing was pumping out your basement this week, Rich. That's all I thought about.
Timmy, let's take a quick break, and we get back. It's got some random questions for you.
Sounds good, Rich.
So Pedro stroke, Timmy, hurts his groin, and Morrow isn't quite ready, at least that's what they're saying in Chicago. So who, if you had to pick up somebody or you had to bet on who gets the most saves over the next 2 weeks, 2 weeks left, Timmy, that's all we got. Who's it going to be in Chicago?
Yep. It's going to be Ben Zobrist because Joe Maddon loves him, Rich.
Yeah, that's true. That's very funny, actually. He does love him, doesn't he? He's a Ben Zobrist fan.
As soon as I saw the questions this week, that's the first thing that crossed my mind. I must be a sick puppy or something. That's the first thing that crossed my mind. That's got to be Ben Zobrist. But no, I had a serious, on a serious note, it'll be a committee. He'll go with matchups. But if I had to pick anybody right now, it'd be Cishek. He's got the experience, and I think he'll be turned to more than anybody else, per se.
So if in a deeper league, if you've been holding on to Brandon Morrow, hoping that he comes back before the season ends, do you put him in there or you just cut him and say, it's not going to happen?
Well, you can't do anything with Morrow except leave him on your DL until they activate him, man. If they should activate him sometime in the next week or so, that might change things. But he's still on the DL, and the Cubs are still playing games, so you got to go with an arm for now that's going to have a shot. And I think Cishek's as good as anybody there.
Jorge Lopez, I mean, when he was in the Milwaukee Brewers, I mean, everybody loved this guy, right? I mean, it was a chance,
right?
Big arm, high strikeout rate, and then he just kind of went away. And it's like, what happened to Jorge Lopez? And Timmy, I'll be honest with you, I didn't realize he had actually moved on, but the guy almost pitched a perfect game this year. Came without, I think, 2 outs from pitching a perfect game. What about Jorge Lopez? Any interest there?
Well, you know, does anybody remember where any of the Brewers' prospects end up? When was the last time they had, other than Hader, when was the last time they had a starting pitching prospect that actually worked out? They don't have many, do they? You know, they're not a strong pitching organization, so I wasn't keeping track of Jorge Lopez, but I will say one thing. In a dynasty league, based on what we've seen over the past X number of years, if you're going to win a dynasty league, you have to have starting pitching depth. You have to have at least 7-8 starting pitchers that you can look at over the course of the year, because injuries are going to take their toll on at least a couple. So in dynasty leagues, yeah, right now I'd throw a buck down on them, stash them in my minors, and leave them there till next spring and see how things shake down. The worst that's going to happen is you own him for a month next year, he pitches horribly, and you cut him loose. I'd take the chance.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't strike out guys anymore. So, I mean, I think that's really good counsel. I'm not bullish yet on Jorge Lopez. I was one of those guys that was just, it was okay. But I know everybody loved this guy. He's out with the Kansas City Royals. Just I didn't mention the team he's with, but he almost pitched the perfect game for the Royals. So pretty remarkable. Good for him, Timmy. I hope the best for him, because you hate guys that kind of get lost. But it's interesting you bring up the Brewers. You're right that they've always struggled. I mean, Gallardo was really the last big pitching prospect that they brought through. I guess you could say Jimmy Nelson started off in that organization and made it all the way through. He had that freak injury. But Hader was actually drafted by the Astros. So he came over through the Astros organization and he got traded in. But you're right, they have never developed arms. That has been a criticism of that organization for years.
Well, and you look at it, here's another name. Like, Kansas City is turning in for the home for wayward former Brewer prospects, because Kansas City's closer right now is Willie Peralta, right? Another field starter in the Milwaukee system.
Yeah, pretty good arm. I forgot to say Zach Greinke was developed by the Brewers, but they got rid of him before he really became Zach Greinke, didn't they? I mean, he didn't win the Cy Young when he was with the Brewers, did he?
Royals, I believe. No?
I think it was the Royals, right?
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah, I just can't remember a whole lot of top pitchers, starting pitchers that came out of that system. CC maybe, or was he traded in?
You're right. He was developed out of the Brewers, and they traded him to the Cleveland Indians. And
right.
But where did he win the Cy Young? Did he win the Cy Young? I think he won it with the Brewers. Did he? I don't remember, Tim.
Yeah. You're going way. You know, you're talking about before last week, Rich. That's way off my radar.
I got to all miss. So let's get this. So Zach Greinke, drafted and developed by the Royals, got traded to Milwaukee for that season and a half, and then moved to the Angels, and then on to the Dodgers, and then Arizona. So he was actually developed with the Kansas City Royals. So my bad on that.
Okay. Yeah. I can't recall.
All right. Let's look up CC Sabathia. Shall we, Tim? We got plenty of time. Do you have anywhere to go?
I'm sitting in a garage. It's 90 degrees, kicking back, relaxing. I don't even have socks on. I tell you, I'm going bare feet. I'm barefoot and ready to roll, Rich. I got no plans.
Okay, so we got it wrong on CC Sabathia as well. Brought up to the Cleveland organization, Timmy. He was moved to Milwaukee for that half season, where he had that remarkable half season where he went 11-2 in 17 games. But he won his Cy Young as a Cleveland Indian. So, and then he got signed by the Yankees the following year. So there's two guys that we thought, Greinke and CC Sabathia, and neither one of those was developed by the Milwaukee Brewers. So you've got Gallardo, which I'm pretty sure was developed by the a decent pitcher, not a great pitcher, decent pitcher. And Jimmy Nelson, assuming he comes back, is another guy that was drafted and developed by the Brewers. But I guess the jury's still out. 1 year doesn't make, you know, a great developed pitcher.
No, it usually takes a little bit more than that, yeah. And I hope Jimmy Nelson's back next year. And, you know, a horrible fluke-type injury. But, man, the Brewers could use his arm next year, Rich. They really could. And I just hope the shoulder lives up to the long haul of a major league season, and he's back pitching and pitching well.
You know how old Jimmy Nelson will be next year?
I'm going to say very close to 30, because he's not Brewers. He was traded into Milwaukee, wasn't he?
Well, he's played his entire professional his major league career as a Brewer. He'll be 30 next year, Timmy, which I thought he was a little younger than that. That's interesting. Let's see if I can bring up his minors. Let's see where he was developed. He was drafted by the Brewers. So drafted and developed by the Brewers.
Okay. Yeah, no, because I remember when he came up, you were really, really bullish on him when he first came up. Before he had his successful run. I know you liked him for a long time, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. I have him on a couple, three dynasty leagues. So, yeah, I put my money where my mouth is. Drafted 2010 by the Brewers, second round. But, boy, mm-hmm. if you're listening to this broadcast and you're screaming at your iPhone that we missed a recent Brewer in the last 10 years, the pitcher that was developed – by the Brewers, let us know, because I can't think of any, Tim.
No, when you think about Nielsen, the other pitcher that comes to mind on a regular basis, it was one of your guys, was Dan Straley.
Yeah, Dan Straley. He was in the Oakland organization. He was developed in the Oakland organization and kicked around it. Pitching the best he's ever pitched in with Miami. I mean, he's a number four starter, but it's a nice little guy. He'll make a lot of money, Timmy, in his career. It's more money than you and me.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, just don't spend the rest of your career in Miami, or that probably won't happen.
Well, that's true. Let's talk about Greg Bird, Tim. I don't know if you've seen what he's done. He's hitting now below the Mendoza line. Look, I was never completely sold on Greg Bird when I saw him in the Arizona Fall League. I'm like, I just don't know. Granted, 225 batting average of balls in play. I mean, that's part of the reason that's got his 196 batting average. But he's also got a 25% strikeout rate. This is the New York Yankees who are going to be flush with money next year. What odds do you get that Greg Bird will be the starting first baseman for the New York Yankees on, I think it's, we start March 28th or something? What's the likelihood of that?
I think the odds are fairly good because...
Really?
I got zero.
I got zero, Tim, just so you know. No chance he's the starting first baseman.
I think the Yankees are going to spend some money this offseason, and if you look at first base... there's not much out there as far as free agents are concerned, Rich. I looked at some possible scenarios. You know what might affect Greg Bird is, say the Yankees were to go out after Yasmani Grandal, okay, or Wilson Ramos, and move Gary Sanchez to first base. Now, that's an interesting sort of scenario. The other thing is they could look and say, you know what? We think Adrian Beltre's got one more year left, and we'll offer Beltre a one-year contract to play first base, not third base, first base. So I think, you know, the Yankees could look at solving their first base problem by signing and looking at a different unconventional sort of approach. And I think Gary Sanchez is not a major league catcher. I don't care what you say. The sooner they move him to first base, the better. And there are some catchers out there this year they could invest in. So if the Yankees don't go after a catcher or maybe a Beltre on a one-year deal, that leaves Greg Bird, right?
I give it zero chance. I mean, I had not thought of the Gary Sanchez angle. I think that's a brilliant one, particularly with potentially Wilson Ramos up. I think he only had a two-year deal with the Tampa Bay Rays. So you could see that's a really, really good call by you. Yasmani Grandal, that's an interesting call. Not a very good catcher either. Better than Gary Sanchez. I like the thinking there. Where my head went, Timmy, was Adrian Beltre at third base for the Yankees, or Manny Machado at third base, and Andujar moves to first base. They were talking about moving him to first base anyway. Mm. And I think he is your first baseman. Basically, if he might be the AL Rookie of the Year this year. He's had a really good season.
Yeah, he has, and you know, I think one of the potential problems with the Rookie of the Year when you look at Andujar is there's another kid in New York that's also having a really good rookie campaign, and I think somehow the Torres Andujar might split the vote situation and. we could see Ohtani sneaking in on a split vote. But Andujar's had an amazing season, and you know they want that bat. He's young. He's under control. The price is right. I think whatever the Yankees do, it's going to have it's going to be an unconventional sort of move, because the first there's no, you know, who do you want as a free agent at first base? You want to pick up Matt Adams? No, what for?
Yeah, and I think first base, you know, that role has changed as you know they don't the Chris Davises of the world are you know they're not going to be spending big money on those. They're going to take guys off of other positions and put them over there, and I think people are looking for young, more agile guys that are over there that maybe will have a longer career than the Prince Fielders, Chris Davises of the world.
Yeah, in that case, we can if it's based on agility, we can take and rule Sanchez out, can't we?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's true. I mean, Sanchez could have a very short career. This is a big guy and Timmy, it never ends well for those heavy set guys that play first base for, you know, and you know, they're trying to look, have a big, long career. It usually doesn't end well for them.
Well, no, and you take a look at the situation in New York with Stanton, and there's only room for so many DHs, right? So,
yeah.
You can only have one.
So here's Andujar, what he's done. 136 games, batting .299, 24 home runs. He is slugging .522. Strikeout rate is 16.7%. He doesn't walk ever. Very aggressive at the plate, 4.3. A BABIT of .324, reasonable BABIT. So, I mean, this is a guy that's going to hit .280 and potentially hit you 30 home runs. Why not put him at first base at $500,000 a year?
Well, yeah, you know, hey, the bat's going to play. I've got no problems with that one at all, Rich. Like I said, and when you start looking, you know, the Yankees have some decisions to make, because Gregorius is heading into free agency, I believe, in another year. You know, so they've got some decisions to make, but they've got the money. They're under the cap, and they got a couple of years they can tinker before they get into the same situation that they were in heading into this year, right?
Or they can tinkle as well, Timmy. That is appropriate as well.
That's what I thought I heard you say at first.
That's where my head
went. They do a glass vial about 15 times a year, and they hope the results are negative. Yes.
Exactly. Juan Soto or Ronald Acuna, who do you got, Timmy, as your NL Rookie of the Year? They're both
please.
Deserving. They had remarkable years, but somebody's got to win.
Yeah, both amazing seasons, Rich. Both of them are deserving. In my case, being the consummate speed whore, I got to go with Acuna. I got to go with the stolen bases. I've got to go with the fact that he hit all those leadoff home runs. And it's not to take anything away from Soto. You can argue Soto. You can argue each one of them, and they have the numbers to support it. In my case, I'm going with the stolen bases and the leadoff slot out of Acuna. And he's my NL Rookie of the Year. But if Juan Soto wins it, hey, kudos to Juan Soto. He's deserving. They both are.
Let me ask it a different way. Your NL Fantasy Rookie of the Year. Who do you got?
That makes it even easier. That's Ronnie all the way because of the more balanced attack. But I do have to personally
disagree.
Thank Juan
may
Soto.
May I disagree?
Let me see here. Heads you can, tails you can. Yeah, okay, it came up heads.
I'm going to disagree because you had to spend a third-round pick on Ronald Acuna and Juan Soto. You got off the waiver wire. And I think Juan Soto, to me, because of the cheapness in which you were able to get him, nobody thought Juan Soto was going to come up. That was crazy. He was started off in high A and wound up in the major leagues and potentially Rookie of the Year. I get, you know, if they were – if not considering – the cost of acquisition, yes, Ronald Acuna, but considering the cost of acquisition, and he cost you nothing, to me, it is Juan Soto.
Yeah, no, he cost you about $500 worth of fab, but other than that, yeah, you're definitely right. But I have to personally thank Juan Soto because I'm in a real, real race in labor, And the team that we're tied right now at 119 points, but the team that I'm playing up against has a chance to gain points in stolen bases. And the team just ahead of him happened to have Juan Soto for those three stolen bases the other night. So Juan Soto, you will always have a place near and dear to me, Art.
It is all about Mr. McLeod. And Timmy, good luck, because we'd love
Thanks,
to man. Have that labor and tout wars winner. We won't go into your tout wars team. We've decided not to talk about that for the rest of the year.
Well, you know, right now, Rich, I am right now the 14th first loser. So it doesn't sound bad when you put it that way, right?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'll talk about my NFBC team as well. It's just horrible. Timmy, let's go to somebody who is not horrible, and that's Alex Bregman. He might be the best player on the Astros. I mean, any chance that he wins at MVP? I mean, probably not, but he's going to get some votes.
He's going to get some votes. And in any other year where you didn't have people playing for the Triple Crown and Mookie Betts, and you know what's scary is Mike Trout is having an amazing year, and he's probably not going to finish in the top three in the voting. You know, I didn't realize it until it was brought to my attention, but you know what, Alex Bregman this year has done something that has never been done by a third baseman in the history of the game. He's hit 30 homers with 50 doubles. That has never before been done. You look at the Astros, and, you know, they've lost Altuve for time. I believe Springer was on the DL. Carlos Correa has not been Carlos Correa. They've had injuries. They've had all sorts of problems. And the one constant they've had once April, we turned the calendar on April, the one constant they've had through all of this is Alex Bregman. He is definitely the Astros MVP this year. And I think it's just unfortunate that the competition is so stacked and there are so many qualified people. Or, you know, in any other year, Alex Bregman could win the MVP.
I know. It is remarkable. I'm looking at Fangraphs. I sorted it by WAR. He talked about Michael Trout, Timmy, 34 home runs, 23 stolen bases, 318 average. Catch this, to me, a 466 on base percentage and a 625. Yeah. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, that's just ridiculous. 9.1 WAR for him. The only player in the major leagues with a better WAR is Mookie Betts, and it is done because of defense. So offensive Michael Trout is superior to that. You drop down to 8.1 for Jose Ramirez, 7.5 for the guy in fourth place, Mr. Alex Bregman.
Yeah, and where does J.D. Martinez fit into that group?
He's 11th with a 5.2, and that's because he's got a negative defensive WAR. So, I mean, that's his problem.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but, I mean, there are so many good and deserving players this year, and if I woke up and they said Alex Bregman has won the MVP, I'd say good for him. He's had a heck of a year. He's deserving.
You're right. Michael Trout will not win the MVP, Timmy, but this could be his best season.
And he missed
a 466 on base percentage. Nobody even comes close to that.
No, how many walk? What's his strikeout to walk? What are his numbers?
I'm glad you asked me that. 20.5 strikeout rate. You go, wow, that's high. 20.3 walk rate. He walks as many times as he strikes out.
Well, yeah, and you know what? It's a good thing Ohtani was hitting behind him and hitting well, or he'd be walking even more. Why pitch to him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and everybody talks about, wow, J.D. Martinez, a home run all the time, and it's the uppercut swing, and blah, 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 blah. He's got a 628 slug. Mike Trout's got a 625 slug. So we're talking, you know, one more extra base hit probably by J.D. Martinez and, you know, 610 versus 567 plate appearances. So, you know, Michael Trout's had a remarkable season.
Oh, yeah, there is no doubt about it, but what J.D. Martinez, I think, still has an outside chance at the Triple Crown, doesn't he?
Let's see. 41 home runs. I think Chris Davis, KHRIS Chris Davis, not the one in Baltimore, I think it's got 43 or 44 home runs. He's got, let's see, RBIs 122. I'm not seeing anybody close to that. The batting average is 328. Mookie Betts has got him by 10 points, so that's probably – so, yeah, he's got an outside chance, Tim, but not a very good chance.
No. But, again, it's an amazing season.
It is, Timmy. So, you know, it looks like it's probably – Key or Jose Ramirez or Mike Trout. I mean, you're saying that Trout might not come into the top three. I bet you he does. I think it would be good. I mean, the stats say he's that good.
Well, yeah. If I had to pick him right now and guess, I would go with Betts, Ramirez, JD Martinez, and then Trout, and then Bregman.
Yeah, look at and Jose Ramirez, man. Yeah, I mean, Lindor's number five. Look at Jose Ramirez, though, Timmy. 38 home runs, 32 stolen bases, 15% walk rate, and 11% strikeout. I mean, how can that guy not win? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, exactly. This is, you know, when we look back at the 2018 season, we look at the American League, we have really witnessed some amazing seasons. We really have.
Yeah, it's remarkable, Timmy. Okay, let's. Here's my next random question for the great Tim McLeod. We talked about Never Drag a Rocky pitcher. So my last thing is just kind of a bit of a tribute to David Wright, Timmy. And David Wright announced that he's going to play one more series, probably one more game as a Major League Baseball player, and basically said, look, I've had a gazillion surgeries. The doctors have told me it's not going to get any better, and I just can't do this. Not going to retire, Timmy. At least he says he won't, because, you know, if he retires, then there's a financial implications, and so
you know,
it's going to be tough to do. So maybe, he becomes some kind of special coach, special assistant, something. But how good? I mean, you played fantasy baseball for a long time. I mean, how good was David Wright in his heyday?
Well, in DL1, the very first Dynasty League, I believe David Wright was my first-round selection. It was either DL1 or DL2, Rich, one of the two. But David Wright was a first-round pick. He was a dominant third baseman. He gave you power, he gave you speed, batting average, and he gave you stolen bases. And in his prime, David Wright was an all-star player. Top tier.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, from everything you're hearing, particularly as, and again, maybe there's some sympathy vote being put here. I'm not saying, you know, be a little cynical here, but everything you hear from the people that followed this guy and covered this guy from the media says that, I mean, it wasn't a finer baseball player, you know, that they could interview, and that always available and just seemed like, you know, one of the real good ambassadors for the game. And I think in one of those horrible World Baseball Classics, which the American teams always did terrible in, he was the captain on a couple of Captain America, right? I mean, that's who he was. And, you know, and I think he did a really good job at representing the United States and, you know, in that. So, yeah, I think you throw that in as well. And it's just a shame that his body just gave up on him.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where it was just injury after injury after injury, and it derailed what at one point in time could have potentially been a Hall of Fame type career.
Yeah, it's a real shame. I owned in a bunch of redraft leagues. Simi, you're right. He was a top 10 player, and you know, it's just a real shame. One of the things I forgot to ask you, after David going back, well, let's do a break. Let's close on that. I want to get back. I have another question for you, but David Wright, great player. In our last segment, Tim, before we talk about two-star pitchers, I do want to ask you about Alex Bregman. We spoke about he and Andrew Benintendi. Remember that about a month, 6 weeks ago when we were talking about the first round? And you were hoping
right.
that you would pick, if you recall, pick at the wheel or somewhere at the bottom of a 15-team draft, because you were going to take Alex Bregman, thank you very much, and Andrew Benintendi didn't really have a preference for who would come first and who would come second. I think based on what he's done over the, in the second half, Alex Bregman, is he a top 10 fantasy player next year?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to get him at the wheel. Benintendi has really, really had a poor second half. And I think it started with a series in Toronto. And he complained of tired legs. And I think he's only got one stolen base, maybe, in August and into September. I think Benintendi's hurt, to be honest with you. He hasn't looked the same in the second half. And that I would still probably look at him towards the wheel, but you're not going to get Bregman is going to go top 10. I'm convinced of it.
Yeah. And well, you know, probably the first week after the regular season ends, Timmy and I will be the first three or four rounds. We always do that, Timmy, and it's going to be fascinating where these guys go because, you know, I agree. Bregman might be a top 10 guy, but let's see what happens when we line them all up and where exactly he goes, because only 10 stolen bases. And for the great Tim McCloud,
yeah,
that's a problem. That's a problem. I know you pretty well. That's a problem.
Yeah, it means I'm probably going to have to draft Adalberto Mondesi in the second round, Rich, and I'll be okay after that.
And somebody asked me, and I'll ask you this as a Twitter question.
Yeah.
Basically, and it hurts, Timmy, about the Mondesi. Just want to say that last year when I selected him to be my speed guy, my NFBC team, and it just went horribly bad for me. So, but I'm happy for him and young player, and it's good to see that. But the question was, who would you rather have going forward, Adalberto Mondesi, or Raul Mondesi Jr., or Ahmad Rosario?
Mondesi. 24 stolen bases, basically, in what? 100 and what? I'll guess at 160 at-bats.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't know how many at-bats. The guy's got wheels, man, for sure.
Well, you know, I didn't realize he was as fast as he was, but right now he's, you know, I believe he's up to 8 or 9 home runs, and he's got 24 stolen bases. Now, the walks, yeah, you look at the walk rates, that's a little bit of a problem, but they lived with Alcides Escobar for years, and he couldn't walk, and he couldn't run. Well, he ran for a bit, but he never had power. I really like Mondesi, and again, I just think he's going to give me those additional stolen bases that Rosario isn't. I think Rosario is going to be a fine player, but I could see Mondesi stealing 40-plus bases next year. I'm not anticipating that from Rosario.
So here was my non-answer to Matthew, who asked the question. Here's
yes.
what I said to me. I think you'll agree with this, but I didn't give him a
okay.
recommendation. Mondesi has better speed, but Rosario is the better hitter. Both have 12 to 15 home run power with perhaps more upside with Mondesi. Overall, though, similar production with slightly more SBHR ceiling with Mondesi.
Yeah, that works for me.
Yeah, but I didn't really give an answer. Sorry, Matthew. I wasn't really sure. I mean, I you know, it gun to my head. You know, it's a keeper question. So hopefully he's got over the winter to think about it. I would, you know, I mean, again, Ahmad Rosario is a better baseball player, probably, right? Just a better all around, lower risk. But Mondesi could be a monster, man. He could be a monster.
Well, and everything that I've read, and you can probably either agree or disagree, is Mondesi's good with the glove, too. He's a fine second baseman. The defense is not going to be an issue with Mondesi, is it?
He could play shortstop. So, no.
Mm.
Defense is he's good. He can play defense. He can play
He
can play shortstop or second base up the middle, I think, is fine. He's a guy that I would be targeting. He'll probably be a sexy pick because of what he's done in the second half. But if you can get him, if you want to wait a little bit on shortstop, it's not a horrible idea to pick Mondesi. He is really young, Timmy, because the Royals rushed him through the minor leagues. If you recall, he played on that, I think he made his major league debut in the postseason of 2016. And, you know, he couldn't hit. He was totally overwhelmed. He was always – his batting average and on-base percentage was always well below what the talent looked like he could do. But he was always 2 or 3 years younger than the youngest player in the league. And I think it finally caught up to him. And I think he just needed truly some more seasoning. I think you're starting to see the fruits of the Royals, you know, putting them back up, you know, on a lift and saying, hey, let's allow this guy to get some time in an age appropriate level and see what he can do. And I think you're seeing that now.
Well, yeah, you know, not everybody develops equally, and he's still only 23 years old.
I know.
Like, we're not talking a seasoned veteran here. We're still talking a kid. There's plenty of kids still working their way through the system at AA at 23 years of age. I really anticipate good things, and I know in the leagues that I'm playing in next year, if he's on the board in round 7, you ain't getting him in round 8.
Yeah, that's for people who play against Tim McLeod. Those are fighting words. So Tim's already showed his first hand. So there you go. So let's go to two start pitchers. Framber Valdez, when I heard an interview recently with Jeff Luno. No, it was A.J. Hinch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, A.J. Hinch. And I think the interviewer was trying to have him answer Josh James is the answer. He goes, who's been the biggest surprise that you never thought they could do this, you know, coming into the season? I actually do think now it was Luno, and I think they wanted to say Josh James, but it
right.
was Framber Valdez was his selection that, look, this is a guy that we thought had a really good arm, but he's done things that we never thought he'd be able to do, and he's pitched well to me. Last 3 starts, 1-1 record, a 3.77 ERA, 14 innings pitched, 11 strikeouts, a ton of walks, 10 walks. What about for a two-start pitcher, only 17% started in CBS? What about Framber Valdez?
Yep, I'm of the mindset, Rich, that basically at this time of the year, if you're chasing wins, okay, and it's a horrible category to be chasing. I'm doing it right now in labor. But if you're chasing wins, wheel them all out there in a rotisserie league. You've got lots of innings under your belt. Even a blow up, unless the ERA and WHIP categories are very, very tight, it's not going to affect you that much. And I don't know who Valdez is pitching against, but he's definitely being wheeled up by me.
Seattle, Wade LeBlanc, and Angels, Felix Pena. But here's let me put it in a context. I mean, so let's say we're weekly leagues, and you got limited bench space, limited space. So. Yeah, you know, is Framber Valdez a guy that you want to pick up? I'm going to give you a bunch of names. I mean, is he a guy that, hey, I need wins. Do you like those matchups? And is that some guy that you would say, yeah, let me, I think I can get at least one win out of here.
Yeah. He's owned, he's rostered, and he's out there. We got 2 weeks left. The best you can do in that 2 weeks is 3 starts. He's going to get you 2, and he's got the offense behind him to support him. And he's been pitching reasonably well. So, that's a definite go for me.
Felix Pena at Oak to be announced, and at Houston, the Framber Valdez we talked about. 2-0 in the last 3 games, a 1.35 ERA, 20 innings pitched, 12 strikeouts, and 1 walks. Felix Pena or Framber Valdez, Timmy, who would you rather own for this week?
I would rather own Valdez.
How about I take that's true at Oakland and at Houston. Yeah, I'll take Framber Valdez over there. Ryan Borucki with Toronto. I think I'm saying the name right. At Baltimore to be announced and home against Tyler Glasnow. 0-1 last 3 starts, 4.76 ERA, 17 innings pitched, 12 strikeouts and 4 walks. Any interest in him if you're looking for wins, anything?
No. Yes, in a reverse league, I would be all in.
Okay. Trevor Richards with Miami. I don't think now. Let's skip over him. There's no interest. Here is a good name, Timmy. Eric Fetty, big-time prospect at one point, no longer a big-time prospect at Miami, and Trevor Richards and home against the Mets and Steven Matz. That looks like an enticing opportunity. 3.03 ERA, 11.2 innings pitched over the last 3, 16 strikeouts and 4 walks. What about Eric Fetty?
Yeah, we're seeing some life out of Fetty, and I like it because I've got him stashed in a couple dynasty leagues. And next year, the Nats are going to need him in that rotation right from day one. So he's been pitching better, and yeah, Washington's been playing better. So yeah, I'd bite on Mr. Fetty. Yep.
Yeah, don't worry, Timmy. They can also the Nationals have a ton of guys in the minor leagues. They still have Lucas Giolito that they can bring up, and they have Ronaldo Lopez as well. So they
Yeah,
they're loaded.
Yeah,
that's right. So Adam Eaton's been a real benefit for them. What a bad trade. Anyway, I digress. Here's a name from the past, Timmy. Daniel Norris. 0-2 the last three games, 6.43, 17 strikeouts and 3 walks, though, home against my Minnesota and home against the Kansas City Royals. I like this matchup because I'm a sucker for Daniel Norris anyway.
Well, yeah, the shine's off it for me, Rich. If you're in a mixed surfing league, grab him. Otherwise,
pass. Oh, boo. Okay, sorry to Mr. and Mrs. Norris. So we apologize for the great Tim McCloud not liking your son, but I still am a big fan. Adrian Sampson.
I like him lots, Rich. I just think he's a better surfer than pitcher.
Okay. Adrian Sampson, Timmy, I didn't realize he was Texas at the moment, but okay, he's with Texas. Home against Tyler Glasnow and home against Wade LeBlanc. He's 1%. You can grab him, Timmy, if you're desperate. Is this a guy that give you any interest, a chance to win one of those games? I don't think so, right?
Well, you would have to. I would think in those games, you're looking at potential scores of double digits by both teams. And you'd have to be really, really well protected in ERA and WHIP and in a very incredibly deep league to roll them out there. That's a pass for me.
Okay, Timmy, let's out of the guys we just mentioned, I want you to give me the one guy that you're going to put it all on. You got one pitcher that you can pick up this evening, and you need at least one win. You want some strikeouts. You don't want a guy that's going to blow up your ERA and WHIP, but you really want at least one win. You'd hope for two wins. Valdez, Pena, Baruki, Trevor Richards, Eric Fetty, or Daniel Norris, or Adrian Sampson. Who's it going to be?
I'm going to take my three starts out of Valdez, Rich.
Okay, I'm going to take mine out of Daniel Norris. So, little gentleman's bet, steak and liquor. How about two categories? Wins and strikeouts. Wins and strikeouts. How's that sound?
Well, I noticed you weren't real quick on the ERA and WHIP, but yeah, okay, that'll work, Rich.
Well, I'm happy to do all four. How about we do three?
No, we'll just do the two because it really wouldn't be fair. And you know, as a Canadian, okay, I do have this fairness thing about me, and you know, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I thought I was possibly, you know, roping you into another like Mitch Haniger bet or something like that, eh? And
so
we just
how about this as a carve out? If either Daniel Norris or Valdez, no matter how many games they win, how many strikeouts they get, if they have over a 7 ERA, they're disqualified. You automatically lose.
Yeah, sure. Throw it in there. I can't quite understand what you said, but I'll go along with it.
So in other words, if the guy blows up but somehow still manages to win, he might crush your ERA for that. So that's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, okay. Can I pick Norris? Okay. No, I'm just kidding.
we won't talk about it next week, Timmy. We're going to forget. So Timmy,
I think I already have.
Okay. Timmy, we went, supposed to go an hour. We went an hour and 17 minutes. A great show. What have you got planned? When are you back in Fort Francis?
I'm not back in Fort Francis until a week this coming Wednesday, Rich. I'm going to be out in the road for about another 10 days. I'm visiting a friend in the Parry Sound area. It's about 90 miles from here tomorrow. And then I'm getting together with a high school friend and a college friend later on in the week. The one gentleman's coming in from Ottawa, and we're gonna sit down, and I might even be enticed to pour a scotch with this guy and relive some of the golden college years. And after that, I'm gonna head home starting next week on Monday and head back across the UP and hopefully arrive in Fort Frances a week this Wednesday. And in between, I'm gonna set a few rosters, cross my fingers that my labor team comes through for me. How about yourself?
All right. Well, before we get into myself, so I got to drill down into this high school and college, if you don't mind. So when is the last time you, two gentlemen, I'm assuming, when is the last time you've seen both of these gentlemen?
Yes. On my trip through in March.
Oh, so this is recent.
This
okay.
Spring.
Okay.
Yeah, so up until last March, I hadn't seen both of them in over 20 years.
Wow. Now when you first see these guys, I mean, is it awkward or is it like your long lost friends and you just pick up right where you left? Or are you talking like high school stuff all the time? Are you talking college pranks all the time? Or does it get into like what you've done over the last 6 weeks, 6 months? I mean, or is it all living in the past?
No, it's living in the past, living in the present, living for the future. It's a combination of all three. But what is really, really neat are these two guys are, from that particular time in my life, were probably my two best friends. And what is really neat is when you sit down, we shook hands, gave each other a hug, and you sit down, and even though it's been like 20 years, he's still Gord, and he's still John, and I'm still Tim. And all of those ties that you had a long time ago, even though you haven't seen each other, they're still there, Rich. And that is really, really cool and something that I'm very, very thankful for.
That's awesome, Tim. That's a really cool thing. So we have to get one of these guys. We have to get one of these guys on the podcast because I think our entire audience, Timmy, would love to hear what Tim McLeod was like in his late teens or early 20s. I mean, I think that's never going to happen probably, but I think our listening audience would appreciate that.
Well, I think in both cases, okay, Rich, you're asking me and two good friends of mine to go back and try and remember what we did in the 70s. We couldn't remember it in the 70s, Mitch. The odds of us being able to remember it in 2018 are even less.
Because I have a knack, Timmy, for like asking the very awkward question and always getting the awkward answer out. So that's one of my gifts, Timmy. So I can ask those questions.
Well, I will say one thing. Both of them have the same very sharp tongue and sense of humor that I do, Rich. So I know
one thing,
it'd be a heck of a lot of fun. Guaranteed it would be a lot of fun.
Very, very good. So, Timmy, my week is heading off to Los Angeles, assuming I can get to the airport. Tuesday to Thursday, then I'll be watching, following my teams, wishing them well, fingers crossed that I can get the money in a couple of leagues. And then I'm back with you on Sunday, Timmy, and I'm going to be writing my little fingers to the bone, and I have some interesting news for you. We talked about the Arizona Fall League last week, and I'm going to try to make it out at least for a day to hang out with you that week of the Halloween week. So whatever the week that is, I'm trying to do a Monday or a Tuesday. So I'll let you know if I'm able to do it, but that's my plan, is to try to at least get there for a game and be able to sit and watch a game and collect on my Mitch Haniger bet. So there is alternative motivation to me. I want that hot dog.
Well, and you know what, Rich? I don't blame you one bit. If I was in your shoes, I'd do the same thing. Just to savor that moment with an iced tea and a hot dog and just rub it in a little bit.
I'm going to watch you reach into that wallet of yours, and it's going to be painful. You're going to rip out those $3 and pay for my hot dog, and I'm going to be loving life.
good for you, Rich. No, that is awesome. It's been a few years since we've crossed paths, and I would really, really enjoy spending a day at the park and a supper out there, and just reconnect a little bit.
That'd be great. That'd be great. It was funny because somebody was saying, hey, I'd like to get together, and like, when are you going to be in Arizona? I said, I'll be there first week. And I go, wait a minute. How about the last week and that Halloween week? That's what I said to the guy. It's kind of some baseball, like, say, because that's perfect. We'll be there that week, and we'd like to get together and talk to you. I said, fantastic. So I changed my plans, Timmy. He probably listens to the podcast.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now. And he says, so it's all a ruse to get to come out and visit you and get somebody to pay my ticket. So that's what it's all about.
Well done, my friend. Well done.
If nothing else, Timmy, I am conniving. And, of course, to eat free. Have a free meal as Timmy pays for my hot dog. So I'm feeling very, very confident in this trip. So.
Yes, you've made my day, Rich. I appreciate it. And again, looking forward to crossing paths. It's been too long, my friend.
Hopefully it will happen. With that, everybody, have a great week. And Timmy, be well.
Be well, my friend.